Okay, it is 6 o'clock. I'm going to call to order the regular meeting of the West Lafayette Community School Corporation Board of School Trustees. It is Monday, September the 11th. It is 6 o'clock PM. And we're going to begin this evening with special recognitions. The West Lafayette Elementary School Good Citizenship Club. And we have Mrs. Sarah Delaney and Mrs. Rhonda Laney here with us tonight.
Do I need the microphone?
I think we can hear you okay, Mrs. Delaney.
So we have seven of our students joining us tonight. If you guys would come on up, we will work to get us in order. So we're going to start with our kindergarten friends here. So Malin and Pranav, perfect. We'll start all the way down here. Julia and Julia's our first grade. And then Kenzie and Brooke. And May and Brooke. All right. Fantastic. Well, I'm excited to get to bring our representatives of our Good Citizenship Club. Each month we celebrate a different life skill, and this month our life skill is friendship. So these awesome kids are representing our school and our ability to focus on friendship and some of the kind of things that they've been doing. So each one of them was nominated by one or two staff members, and so I have a special message to share for each one of them. So I will try to stand by the kiddo we're talking about. They get to hear some sweet words too. So we're going to start up here. This is Malin and Hannah. So Malin's teacher, Mrs. Cattell, tells us that Malin is such a bright spot in our classroom. She effortlessly goes out of her way to help others and make them feel included. Nominating her was such an easy decision. When she says that there was a line at her desk, she's not exaggerating. She had a line of kids trying to write her name because they needed to write a friend. So she had standing room only of kids who wanted to meet her friend. They could pick any one of them, and so many of them picked her. She's a welcoming and kind and so inclusive. I feel blessed to spend my days with her, and she deserves this recognition. So congratulations to Malin. We'll give her a Next, we have Pranav. And his teacher, Mrs. Corsi, says, since the first day of school, Pranav has set an amazing example of what it means to be a friend. Pranav consistently does his very best to help others, shows kindness, and be inclusive to his classmates. I have taken notice of Pranav's willingness to step up and help his kindergarten friends when they need it. He has also been seen helping students up when they fall, helping clean up messes, and motivating others to do their very best. We are so lucky to have Pranav as a part of our classroom family. So congratulations. Was not able to be here, but I promised that we would honor him. Before we get to Julia, we're going to discuss Colin Hertz. Colin was nominated by his teacher, Mrs. Tenlinda, and she writes that Colin is a leader in our classroom and is a positive role model to all of the other students in our class. Colin is frequently helping other students with various tasks and always makes sure everyone is included in the activity. He is always the first one to offer to include someone or to notice when someone doesn't have someone else to play with. Julia was nominated by her teacher, Mrs. Wayman. And Julia fully embodies what it means to be kind, caring, and loving to everyone. She always greets me every morning with a good morning. And she's a huge smile on her face. She is the first to volunteer to help someone in our class and when they need something. Way to go, Julia. I'm so proud. Representing second grade, we have Mackenzie Lee. And Mackenzie was nominated by Mrs. Van Dyke, and she wanted to share that over the month of August, Mackenzie has been a great example of a student that has outstanding skills in the area of friendship. She has been a leader in the sensory room supporting her peers. When she notices that another student is not quite sure how to complete the mind maze, Mackenzie will say, "Come here," show you because I'm new. She demonstrates each step and then will look back to make sure the student is doing the maze correctly per her instruction. McKenzie is always first to say good morning to the other students as they walk in, and if she notices they're having a challenging start to their day, she will ask if they were all right. If they tell her that they are not all right, she will ask why and listen with kindness and always offers ideas on how they can feel better and gives examples of days that she's had that are similar and what she does to help herself get in a better mood. Thank you, McKenzie, for always being a good friend to others in my maze room. What a great way for us all to start. All right, and then we have Brooke Kaplan. So Brooke was nominated by two staff members, so I have two things to share for Brooke. Brooke was nominated by her teacher, Mrs. Meister, as well as Mrs. Carroll, our media specialist. So Mrs. Meister shared, "I have only had Brooke for a few short weeks, but her sweetheart quickly stood out as she enters my room each day with the biggest," and I'll pass the letters, "smile and warm hug. This doesn't stop with me as she shows her heart to her class as well. She is so quick to help a classmate in need and shows kindness with compassion to all. Her smile and kind heart are contagious, and I love that she is such a great example of being a true friend to all." And Mrs. Carroll shares, "Brooke has been a wonderful friend in the library. She has demonstrated friendship by always helping others, whether it's lending a hand, giving a hug, or helping others find books in the library." Congratulations. All right, and next, representing our big third graders, we have May Winery. Was that right? Okay. And we are celebrating you for Mrs. Smart in room 402. So she is room 402's recipient of the Friendship Award. From my very first interaction with May, it has been very apparent that May is a wonderful friend to her peers. From helping her peers and friends get settled in our room, with putting supplies away, or sitting with a friend who might need someone special, May is there. Since the first day of school, May has continued to demonstrate what makes a wonderful friend. At any given time, you can walk into our classroom and find May helping, mentoring, and modeling wonderful friendship skills. It's all very natural. Additionally, May is a friend to all. When she sees a friend who might need something or someone, she's there. Thank you for being a wonderful friend. Alexander. So he was nominated by Mr. Stahl. So Mr. Stahl shared, "Wes, thank you for making each day in our school a little brighter. We're proud of you for choosing to treat others with kindness, care, and respect. We look forward to your continued growth, both socially and academically. The year has just begun. Keep up the good work and always do your best." From Mr. Stahl and all of us. I wasn't good. So congratulations to all. Sharing your kids with us. We have small friends, right? Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for being
here. Thank you very much. Families who joined us for the recognition, you are welcome to stay for our meeting, but we are not upset if you would rather do something else with your evening. So now would be your time to exit. Okay, we're going to move on to communication from the audience. We have one person who has signed up for tonight. As a reminder, Mr. Stute, you have 3 minutes. You decline that? Okay. We're going to move on to item one, approval of the agenda for the September 11th, 2023 regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. I'll entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. Marley. Second by Mrs. Austin. Questions, comments? Mr. Wong?
Agenda is pretty good, very organized, and we use that for our meeting. It's pretty good. Program. The only things I think maybe we can make that better is add another second public comments time before the end of the meeting. I already sent email to our board members, and that's I would like submission for that, so that we board can get public comments in a timely manner. Thank you.
Okay. So are you making a motion to add an agenda item of a second public comment section?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Wong has made a motion to add a second public comment section onto our agenda at the end of the meeting. I presume that would be, where would you like that exactly? Mr. Wong, where are you moving to put that?
After a board and superintendent report before the future meetings.
Okay.
Probably after we finish any talks, reports, and then if there are any peoples that want the comments on something, I think that may be a good opportunity for them to get some comments.
Okay, Mr. Wong has made a motion to insert a second public comment section between item 7 and item 8 on our agenda this evening, or section 7 and section 8, excuse me. Is there a second for his motion? Dr. Yin has seconded that motion. Any questions or comments regarding that motion? You made the motion, so now I have to get anybody else. Is there anyone else who wants to comment on it? Dr. Yin?
I think it makes sense. And if the audience has any comments after they attend the meeting and they want to say anything, they can. And it's really, we don't allow the public to say anything during the meeting. I think it's a good time for them to make a comments after the meeting. So maybe people don't need it, but you know, we can always skip it if nobody signed up. I don't see why we should remove that one.
Good, thank you, Dr. Yin. Any other members? Mrs. Austin?
I have a question for clarification. In the entire history of the board that I'm aware of, we've always had people sign up to speak. How would people know if they wanted to speak at the end of the meeting and be able to sign up? Do you have a suggestion for how that would operate? Would they, or would it just be people raise their hand and whoever wants to speak can speak?
Yeah, I think about that question. Thank you for your ask. I think we don't need to sign up, just be a lot more open people, but we can set up a time limit, say 3 minutes or something. Yeah, that's my my opinion. Thank you.
And would you limit the number of times?
Yeah, I will say so.
So people can speak once or twice or 80?
Oh, I think once should be good. I mean, 3 minutes once, I think that's enough time for people to share their comments, suggestions, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Wong? Any discussion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second round. Sorry. Yeah, I think I submit this motion. I think there are at least two benefits. And the first, I think that's very good. We have public comments time before we do anything. That's excellent. I appreciate that. And for the public comment time before the end of the meeting, I think at least we can get some timely feedback from our community. And I think people, if they have something more share with us, they don't need to wait for next month's meeting. And a good example is last meeting, we talked about the class size issues, and we did get some comments from principals, teachers, and I think those are very valuable for us. And I think it's good for we are school board, this kind of continual learning, continuous improvement. So I think this perfect opportunities for us to get from communities. Another thing, another benefit, I think the education is pretty much collective collaborations effort of school, parents, and the whole communities. So by adding the second comment, and then we don't require people to sign up. Basically, we signals, we demonstrate we are very willing to listen people's feedback, so we can create a kind of welcome and open environment for our school meeting environment. So I think that's pretty much two biggest benefit for this approach. Thank you.
Is any other member who has not already commented, would you like to comment at this time? Okay, Let's take this to a vote, please. All those in favor of adding a second public comment period in between section 7 and section 8 on our agenda, please indicate with a show of hands. All those in favor. Please note that Dr. Yin, Mr. Wong, and Mrs. Mumford voted in the affirmative. All of those opposed to adding that section, please indicate with a show of hands. Please note that Mr. Schott, Mrs. Austin, Mr. Marley, and Mrs. Witt voted opposed. That motion does not carry. We will move on to approval, or we still need to finalize approval for the agenda for this evening's minutes. Are there any other comments or questions related to our September 11th, tonight's meeting agenda? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approving our agenda for tonight's meeting, please indicate with a show of hands. Please note that motion carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. Moving on to item 2, approval of the minutes of the August 14th regular board meeting of the school trustees. I'd like to entertain a motion, please. So moved by Mrs. Austin. Second by Mr. Schott. Questions or comments related to the agenda or the minutes of the August 14th meeting? I don't know the answer to that, so better safe than sorry. Okay.
I'll abstain this time.
Please note that Mr. Marley abstains from this agenda item. Mr. Marley was not present at the last meeting, though he did review the materials. He was not here in person, so he is abstaining from this agenda item to vote. So any other comments, questions, discussions about the minutes from the August 14th meeting? Mr. Wong?
Yes, as I sent email to the board members, I would like to have a motion document the general substance of possible amendment of policy, our school policy 0166, proposed by member Mumford in the August 14th board meeting minutes. Per Indiana Code IC 5-14-1.5 4B and item 3. Thank you.
Okay, so you are making a motion to add Mrs. Mumford's commentary from the last meeting to the agenda notes from, or the minutes notes from this, the August 14th meeting.
Not commentary. I think I need to clarify the general substance of amendment of policy 0166 proposed by member Mumford in last meeting.
Okay, but her motion did not carry to add that, so it will be commentary. Is that correct? I'm just trying to understand exactly what it is you're trying to add. I know that you emailed the content, but it was, you emailed to me what I believe were Mrs. Mumford's notes from that meeting, not what she read aloud in that meeting. Is that true, that that was Mrs. Mumford?
Well, I can add, so I didn't make a motion. I made a recommendation for the policy committee to make revisions to the policy, and I shared that. It wasn't a commentary. It was just, I mean, it was my comments, but it was recommendations of policy changes.
Okay, so you, as I recall, reading those notes, you had read those comments aloud, correct? So what you are asking is that the comments that she read aloud, which were, that is her commentary. There's nothing official about that. That's just her commentary. So what you're requesting now is that her commentary from the last meeting regarding that policy item be added to the minutes from that meeting. Is that the motion that you're making?
Yes, the general substance, not the word by word, everything. The general substance of that proposal.
Okay. All right. So yes, that's the motion on the table. Mr. Wong is requesting that the general substance of Mrs. Mumford's commentary that she spoke aloud at our August 14th meeting be included in this, the minutes of record for this meeting. Can I get a second for that? Dr. Yin seconds that motion. Are there questions, comments, or discussion about this agenda item? Dr. Yin, did you want to?
Yeah. I think in general, it should be a general rule. If there's a substantive comments or made, it should be included.
Any other comments or questions? Mrs. Austin.
We don't document commentary as a general rule. That's never been our practice. And we have not documented failed motions or actions not taken. The minutes purpose is to document actions taken by the board. So
thank you, Mrs. Austin. Any other questions or comments? Mrs. Mumford?
Currently, the minutes share the administration's recommendation, but includes nothing of a school board discussion. They simply have included discussion ensued. The Indiana law says that minutes must include the general substance of all matters proposed, discussed, and decided. When I reached out to the public access counselor to try to understand this policy better, he said the discussion ensued is not sufficient. The phrase discussion ensued does not capture the general substance of anything. Obviously, the law gives latitude and does not require a word-for-word transcript, but the minutes are supposed to contain a description of the discussion. And I know this same topic was sent to legal counsel a few months ago. And so what was legal counsel's opinion on this topic of discussion ensued versus sharing a summary?
If you're asking that question of me as the board chair, I'm assuming that's what you're doing right now. The answer was that the legal counsel for the school corporation reviewed our minutes over several months and found them to be entirely suitable and legal as compared to what transpired in the meeting. So if you'll recall, she was here in person and then subsequently reviewed the minutes from the meeting that she observed firsthand and found them to be appropriate. Hang on just a minute. Mr. Schott, you're the only member who has not yet spoken. Would you like to speak before I go to a second round?
Say, don't we have the transcript that provides everything of the meeting so people can listen to the transcript they want to hear the entire meeting?
Yes, to confirm that, there is a recording of our entire meeting and as well as the YouTube transcription, unofficial transcript that are available as well. All right, with that, we can go to a second round of comments. I would ask you please to keep it brief. Dr. Yin.
Okay, just to clarify, and so the minutes will only record, for example, somebody made a motion, and for example, today in our case, and Mr. Wong made a motion to add a comment section in the agenda for future meetings, and then we voted Mr. Wong and Mrs. Wong, for I support to add that public comments at the end of the meeting. The other four members voted no. We will add these to the minutes, right? Just to clarify.
That is a requirement of the minutes that all votes be recorded. And so it will indicate who voted for and who voted against any motion in our agenda.
Okay, got it. So that means in the future, if we want to propose anything, we'd better make a motion. So to be included.
Well, that is a bit of a generalization, but I'd be happy. This is kind of more a board training matter. I'd be happy to meet with you to discuss that, the way that that works, though I do think it's fairly well documented at this point in time. But we do, the minutes specifically are a recording of actions taken. So that is what the minutes are intended to be, and not of detailed commentary of what anyone said in the course of that. So would any other member like to make another comment? Mr. Wong.
Yeah, I think one thing need to be clarified is we did pretty good work during the last years. We have a lot of detailed information on our meeting minutes, and we also have the live streams, we have transcripts, and that's pretty good. But I think one thing need to clarify is the transcript is not a general substance required by the open door law. So in case anybody don't know that specific open door law, I would like to read that again. So that's the Indiana Code 5-14-1.5-4. So item B, at the meeting progresses, the following memoranda should be kept. And then item number three, the general substance of all matters proposed, discussed, or decided. So those are information should be on the meeting minutes. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions on the second round, Mrs. Austin?
I just wondered if Mrs. Mumford could clarify, did you make a complaint to the public access counselor about a board that you sit on?
So again, with a complaint, it would have come to the whole board. So complaints, when they're filed, would be turned over to the school district. When you just ask a question, then they'll just answer questions for you.
Okay. Mr. Schott or Mrs. Mumford, neither of you have spoken in the second round. Do you have anything to add?
All good.
Mrs. Mumford.
I'll add that when we did hear back from legal counsel on this, that they did say there was no legal concerns, which is valid. Never did say that we were in complete compliance, because there is questions, they said, on what exactly this means. But did say the risk seems small if we weren't compliant, and that the worst thing that would happen is that we revise the minutes. So I find that when we hear the recommendation from the public access counselor encouraging us to share more information, and the city council is a good one that shows us an example, we can read their minutes and see what happened. I think that this is a good thing that we can do for our community to share in public record what happens.
Good. Everyone has had the opportunity to comment twice. At this point, I'm going to call the vote. All those in favor, again, Mr. Marley is abstaining. All those in favor of modifying the minutes from the August 14th meeting to include Mrs. Mumford's commentary, please indicate with a show of hands. Again, all those in favor, please indicate with a show of hands. Please note that Dr. Yin, Mr. Wong, and Mrs. Mumford all have agreed in the affirmative. They would like that. All of those opposed, indicate with a show of hands. Please note that Mr. Schott, Mrs. Austin, and Mrs. Witt have voted nay. I have no idea, in a tie, what happens there? Okay.
We'll have to find out.
I don't know the answer to the question of what happens in a tie. Don't have any Robert's Rules experts out there. And
I suppose because it's not pertinent to the actual content of the meeting itself, but more to the structure of the minutes, Mr. Marley could therefore vote because it's a procedural issue and not limited to the substance of the meeting he wasn't attending. Does that make sense?
It does, but it seems like a stretch to me a little bit. If he wasn't present, I hate to put him in the position of voting something he did not witness. That doesn't feel appropriate to me.
I found something online. I don't know any history of this, but to me it makes sense. It says, in the event of a tie vote, the motion always fails because an affirmative vote is required to pass any motion.
So that actually does seem lined up to me.
That seems to make sense to me, but I don't know if that's even a quotable or reputable source.
No, that sounds correct to me based on my knowledge of Robert's Rule as well. Thank you for doing the quick lookup on that.
I'd email our attorney and we'll see if we can find it.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, we are going to note that that motion fails, Mrs. Julian. We're going to move on to, thank you for looking that up. Let's move on to the next item. You're correct. Now we need to move on. Thank you. All right. Any other questions or comments related to the minutes of the August 14th meeting tonight? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of approving our regular board meeting minutes from August 14th, please indicate with a show of hands. That motion carries with Mr. Wong, Mr. Schott, Mrs. Mumford, Mrs. Austin, and Mrs. Witt. Voting in the affirmative. Dr. Yin, your vote is, do you vote against or abstain? Hang on just a moment. I need to finish the vote first, Mr. Wong, and then I'll answer your question. Dr. Yin, what was your vote? Abstain. With Dr. Yin abstaining.
Can I make a comment that our attorney has verified what Mrs. Mumford and Mrs.
Thank you. The vote fails. Okay. Mr. Wong, did you have a question?
Yeah. So we have
the motion did not pass. It did not have the majority.
Oh, okay. And then in that case, I will vote no.
Is that too late?
Okay. You already voted yes, but let's go ahead. We will null that vote and redo it. All of those in favor, and again, we are voting right now on the approval of the minutes from the August 14th regular board meeting. All of those in favor on the revote, please indicate with a show of hands. Mr. Wong, you're voting yes again. Do you
know? You talk about the revote, right?
Yeah, we're doing the revote.
You talk about
the revote. I'm just calling for the revote. I don't need to take a motion on a revote.
No. In my understanding is you ask if we are okay with revoting that.
I can just, as the president, as the board chair, I can just call the revote. I don't need to ask for a motion to revote.
Okay, that's fine.
Doing the revote now. All of those who would like to vote for approval of the minutes of the August 14th regular board meeting, please indicate with a show of hands. Please note that Mr. Schott, Mrs. Mumford, Mrs. Austin, and Mrs. Witten have voted in the affirmative. Mrs. Julian, all of those opposed to the approval of the minutes from the August 14th meeting, please indicate with a show of hands. Mr. Wong is opposed. All of those who abstain, Dr. Yin abstains from that. And Mr. Marley also abstains. Thank you. So that motion does carry. Our regular board meeting minutes from the August 14th meeting have been approved. Moving on to item 3, approval of the minutes of the August 24th, 2023 executive session of the Board of School Trustees. I would entertain a motion, please. Moved by Mr. Wong, second by Mr. Marley. You also should do that, yes. Okay, so please note that Mrs. Austin will abstain. She was unable to attend this executive session. Any questions or comments related to the minutes presented for this executive session? Dr. Yin.
This is a fairly brief, so I understand that the central office is putting together all the comments and together. I wonder whether in the future there will be a report or something for the public to see what was covered at the executive meeting. And the priorities were listed or something.
We did last year do a public report of the board priorities, and I would expect that we would do it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Does that match your?
Yes, we will.
Yep.
That will be coming in the future.
Okay, thank you for that question. Are there any other questions about the minutes from that meeting? Mr. Wong, you look like you want to say something.
But maybe related, but not regarding these meeting minutes. Basically, we have our priorities for last year's. Is there any way, or maybe sometime we already done that, we go through and see, review the priorities during the last year and see where achieved that or how far away or something we can improve, something like review the priorities with compare with what we, the implementations that, do we have that kind of things happen?
So you're looking for a wraparound report from last year's priorities in addition to the presentation for this year's priorities. Is that your request?
Not a request. I'm just wondering, do we done that before?
So the summer last year was the first year we did the board retreat, the board and administrative team retreat and planning. That feedback was given by our superintendent to everyone on the board and administrative team to review. So we as a board have had the opportunity to review the outcomes as assessed by our superintendent. Was there some additional reporting that you were looking for that?
Not really. I'm just because last year we have several priorities. So how was going on during the last years? We have some target, and then we have effort implement that in our operations. And I just wondering how far away, or we already achieved some goals, or still working on that, something we need to improve or something like that. Do we have a review?
So that information was provided to all members of the board and administrative team prior to our executive report. That was before the next year's retreat. So we all received a reporting from Dr. Greiner about last year's goals and our progress on last year's goals to review prior to going to this year's planning. So I think it was about a week before that you sent it out to us.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was in box or in, it was in box?
I think I put it in box.
I believe it was in box.
Rather than emailed?
Yeah. But we were provided with that information prior. He sent that out to everyone who would be in the meeting. So everyone came in prepared to have a good retreat the second year. So
I think we got the, how, I remember how this one, this.
That's it.
Yeah, but my question is, I mean, this is our goals of the last year. What's the progress, basically?
The progress is in gray. Everything in gray is.
Oh, in gray means we already done that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Everything in white at the top was the goal, and everything in gray was everything that was done over the last year.
Okay. So we don't have any more detailed information about.
No, I mean, I would say to you that some much of the detailed information has come throughout the year in forms of transactions.
Okay. Okay.
That the board has been engaged in.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions about the minutes from our executive session? Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes from our August 24th executive session, please indicate with a show of hands. Okay, Mrs. Julian, please note that motion carries 6 to 0, I'm sorry, with Mrs. Austin abstaining. Unfinished business, of which we have none. We're going to move on to new business, public hearing, collective bargaining testimony. So I am opening the floor for a public hearing to hear comments related to the upcoming collective bargaining session. The window for collective bargaining officially opens on September 15th and closes on November 15th. With that, I open the floor for anyone to come forward and comment. We'll start first with any community members. Would you like to come forward? Mr. Jost?
Good evening, everyone. My name is David Jost, and I have the opportunity to serve as the WLEA bargaining chair again this year. Looking forward to working with the administration again and school board on another productive session. I'm here on behalf of our team, Lori Windler, Chrissy Catrone, Gina Peters, Mark Pugh, and Amanda Hart. And so we're just excited to hit the ground running. We've appreciated the collaborative approach historically, and look forward to continuing that this year in spite of some additional constraints in terms of the state count date being a little bit later. And yeah, again, just looking forward to working together. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Just as a reminder to everyone on the board, Mr. Wong and Mr. Marley are the board representation on the collective bargaining. Anybody else, any questions or comments with regard to collective bargaining? Okay, I'm now closing the public hearing and we will resume the regular meeting and move on to item 4, personnel report. Dr. Greiner.
So you had the personnel report in your inbox and in your board packet. It is my recommendation that the personnel report be approved as indicated in the box.
I would entertain a motion.
Okay.
Moved by Mr. Marley. Second by Mr. Wong. Just as a note to all board members, we did receive a late revision to the personnel report. There were no additions. There was a subtraction. Anybody, any questions or comments regarding the personnel report? Mrs. Mumford?
I had two questions. My first one is that my understanding is we now have a part-time career advisor at the high school. What is their role and how does that work?
That is through a grant.
Okay.
That is through the chamber, is it the Chamber of Commerce?
Greater Lafayette.
And what they did is they did a grant through the state that provides services to schools beyond Tippecanoe County. And we, there were some other schools that have started on that 2 years ago. Some of them started on that 1 year ago. That position is entirely paid through the grant, and that position works through the counseling team to understand students that might need some targeted help, to understand what their next steps would look like. And beyond the part-time position that is entirely paid through the grant, our students will receive some other benefits as well. Teachers will have access to curriculum. Teachers will have access to some virtual type field trips or virtual guest speakers who can talk about opportunities in Tippecanoe County through employers of all types. And we've got some teacher leaders who have stepped up to say we want to be a part of that as well. So really we're giving our students some opportunities at no cost to us and at a benefit to teachers who can continue to use the curriculum. And of course students will benefit. Students who may not yet have a plan is probably be the most targeted type students, but even students who do have a plan, who may just be searching for things beyond what they would have already envisioned.
So Is it a one-year grant, or do you know?
The grant actually, I think, continues through next year, but the people organizing the grant are hoping to work with industry, who will hopefully see the value in it, to and with the hopes that industry will want to continue to sponsor some of these opportunities.
Awesome, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then I had a second question, if you would share an update on the open DEI position, please.
Yes, and we just talked about that. We plan to post that in November, and we're right now working on finalizing what that job description will look like. We started by working with administrators, the principals, and we're going to get some community input too. So as we work through that process, we'll get that posted.
Wonderful, thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Yin.
Not sure whether these comments kind of should be put here, but I really don't know where to comment it. And just in general, I wonder, especially for high school, you know, students don't necessarily have a home classroom. So there are a lot of like a specialist and assistant principals and DEI director and a career counselor, other counselors. And I wonder whether we can have a directory or something to describe all those teachers, specialty, I don't know how to call the administrator or something, and their like a job description, like what kind of issues we can talk to this person or that person, who is in charge of club, and like DEI director, what kind of issues I can talk to him or her. And so like even that before, and I somehow, as a parent, I saw DEI director will help students with some issues, like if they see any discrimination or something, they can report to DEI director, but sounds like it's not necessary her job, her duty. And so I felt it would be helpful to have that kind of description for the central staff members in the high school, again, because it's kind of quite different from the elementary school and the intermediate school, and where you have home teacher who can be your point of contact person, and from there you can find the right person to take care of whatever specific request or whatever. But in high school, I feel many parents are pretty lost, and they don't know who to talk to if they have a particular issue. Besides, if they have a question about their particular class, yes, they talk to the teacher, but how about other things? And so I feel it'd be helpful to have some sort of directory describing their duties. And also, like, we have some system, like students with last name from what to what should talk to who and who. And I feel not all the parents know exactly the rule. Sometimes, at least, maybe somewhere hidden, somewhere or at some sort of orientation that information was given, but maybe people miss it, and then people ask around, and yeah. Maybe it's particularly challenging for immigrants, I will say, because for those who maybe grow up in this country, they know what's going on. But for people who didn't grow up in this system, and they need to learn what's going on. Because for example, in China, we even in high school, we still have a homeroom. And so students just sit in that room, teachers keep coming to give physics class or math class and so on. But here, you know, kids walk around to find their classroom. The setup is totally different. And I feel some sort of clarification would be helpful, given we have so many immigrants in our school district.
Thank you for your feedback. Anyone else, any comments on the personnel report? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the personnel report, please indicate with a show of hands. Mrs. Julian, please note that motion carries 7-0. Moving on to item 5, field trips. Dr. Greiner.
We have two field trips that we're asking the board to approve tonight at the high school German class, their annual trip to Chicago, Illinois, November 30th. That is out of state, so the board would need to approve that field trip. And then the high school music department extracurricular trip to Los Angeles, California. That'll be over spring break. It will be March 12th through March 16th. And we're asking the board to approve these two trips this evening.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Moved by Mrs. Austin. Second by Mr. Marley. Any questions about field trips this evening? Dr. Yin?
I really appreciate our teachers to sort of take their personal time and to lead the kids for the field trip to give them more educational enrichment. But for the music trip, I noticed that the cost is pretty high. I wonder whether our school or the foundation, whoever, has any means to help those disadvantaged kids to sort of subsidize the cost so they can attend this trip as well.
Thank you.
So there are opportunities for fundraising. I know that the sponsors do provide opportunities for fundraising. And I gave some response to the sponsors based on the questions that were submitted. So if you have further clarifying questions from there, I'd be happy to try to answer those.
From a personal perspective, Dr. Yin, I was unable to afford that trip for my two children, and it is a voluntary field trip, and they suffer no penalty for not attending that particular outing. So families have many reasons to choose not to participate, and I feel confident that if my children or any student went to the advisors and wished to go, that the advisors would do all they could do to support that student going on the trip. Is there any other? I want to give you another chance if you've got more questions, but is there any members who have not yet spoken with questions about field trips? Okay, Dr. Yin, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just, if there are opportunities for those kids, I just want to make sure that those families know there are opportunities, because some people may just assume, okay, I cannot afford it. I will not even try. And so, you know, in general, our district is fairly wealthy, and you know, the majority of kids, for example, don't do the free lunch or reduced price lunch, but we do have like about 12% of something students who are eligible for the free or reduced lunch. We need to be kind of keep that in mind. So for any of those activities, we need to think about how about those kids. So it's not like let them decide, and we need to figure out a way to help them.
Okay. Any other questions or comments about the field trips? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the field trips as listed, please indicate with a show of hands. Mrs. Julian, please note that motion carries 7-0. Moving on to item 6, Meridian Health Memorandum of Understanding. Mrs. Roth.
Thank you. You were provided with the copy of the MOU for this, and I would recommend that we go ahead and approve this based upon the expressed desire of Meridian Health to enter into an MOU to be able to provide services for students.
I'd entertain a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Mumford. Second by Mrs. Austin. Any questions or comments about the Meridian Health Memorandum of Understanding? Mr. Wong.
I have some quick question. So this company already still right now already have contract with us right now, or this is a new contractor?
New MOU. I think they've come across new leadership, and we've had the services in place before, but this person wanted to put an MOU in place to define roles.
My understanding, we don't have any actual cost or obligations other than provide facilities. Okay, so, and then my understanding, the benefit is for our students and the parents, right? Basically, the parents don't need a trip to come here, and they can provide on-site service.
Correct. So students and families benefit.
So is there fair to say way school step actual miles to create a better education environment for students and parents. Is that fair to say that?
I think it's, yeah, it's fair to say that.
Okay.
The school, we see the benefit of the students getting the additional support and of supporting the families. And if the families are interested and we can provide the space and the time for that, for the people providing the services and the students to connect, there's support for that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments, Dr. Yin?
So if the kids receive their service and they pay for this service, right?
It's entirely separate from us.
Oh, okay.
We do not handle anything with billing. We don't handle any part of the recommendation. It is really, we are providing a space for this to occur, and we are agreeing to respect confidentiality of the students involved in that service.
Okay. And my second question will be, how do we make the students know? It's kind of related to my earlier question. And so kind of inform the students of the availability of it.
These are families who have already sought out services. It is completely separate from the school. We are literally just providing a space. Oh. So families have already sought services through this particular service provider. And the service provider is saying it would be convenient for us to be able to meet with students if families approve. So the students and families have already found this provider and expressed interest.
Okay, so we will not announce, oh, hey, we have this.
No, we're agreeing to respect confidentiality.
I understand, yeah, for individuals, but I mean, for this service, we won't say, hey, we have this service.
No, because we're not offering the service. Okay, we're just offering the space for the service.
Okay. Great. To kind of provide some convenience for those who are receiving this service.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. It's helpful.
Any other? Okay. All those in favor of approving the Meridian Health MOU, please indicate with a show of hands. Mrs. Julian, that motion carries 7-0. Moving on to item 7, school bus purchase. Mrs. Kronk.
Thank you. After discussion with Mr. Caldwell, it was decided that due to the lead time on buses and the fact that the cost keeps increasing at fairly high rates, we need to order the bus plan for 2024 now. Mr. Caldwell wishes to purchase an 84-passenger rear-engine transit bus to replace one of the older buses currently in our fleet. Bids were obtained from the Central Indiana Educational Service Center, which provides the service of obtaining bids on various items that school corporations typically purchase. The results of the bid are included in your board packets. Please note that only two companies are manufacturing rear-engine transit buses currently, Bluebird and Thomas. Of the two, Thomas came in with the lowest price of $184,896. It's definitely gone up in price over the years. So please approve this recommendation to purchase the Thomas bus so that we could take advantage of the lower pricing in this bid cycle. At this time, the bus is not expected to be delivered until into 2024.
Thank you, Mrs. Kronk. I'd entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. Schott, second by Mr. Marley. School bus purchase. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Mrs. Mumford?
Do we have plans to transition to electric buses, or what is the conversation?
That question was posed to Mr. Caldwell previously by a community member, and he did do an analysis and looked into it. As you know, we currently contract with TSC to take care of our buses. So a lot would have to go into that decision. TSC currently does not use electric. Looking at the additional cost of electric buses, plus the infrastructure that would be needed and the cost of that infrastructure, the cost or the benefits don't outweigh the cost at this time for us. So we are talking about other things into the future though. So
thank you.
Any other questions for regarding the bus purchase? Okay, all those in favor of approving the school bus purchase recommendation, please indicate with a show of hands. Mrs. Julian, please note that motion carries 7-0. Moving on to item 8, accounts payable finance update. Mrs. Kronk again.
Okay. Claims for the period of August 10th to September 12th total $3,103,950.85, including regular corporation expenses and the Wabash Valley Education Center expenses. Of this amount, $1,585,545.60 were paid towards wages, salaries, and benefits. Moving on to our preliminary fund report for the month ending August 31st, the Education Fund has a balance of $2,096,327.30, and total funds on hand for the corporation are $18,833,182.99. The fund report is preliminary, as we're still working on closing the month of August at this time. Business office update. The budget documents required to be published under state code have been available on the Gateway public site and the school corporation website since the end of August. I will be presenting on the 24 budget, and Mr. Reuter will be sharing an update to the long-term financial plan next week on Wednesday. We will hold the initial public hearing for the budgeted funds, the bus replacement plan, and the capital projects plan at this meeting. Final approval of the 24 budget will occur at the October 9th board meeting. And we're also moving into IASBO professional development season. That's the school board, or not, sorry, not the school board, the school business association for the state. Members of our office will be either attending or teaching courses over the next several months. So we're kind of excited about that. Please approve the accounts payable finance update as submitted.
Okay, and entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. Wong. Okay. Second by Mrs. Mumford. Questions for Mrs. Kronk about the AP finance update?
Just as thank you for your answering my earlier questions.
Okay. All those in favor of approving accounts payable finance update, please indicate with a show of hands. Mrs. Julian, that motion carries 7-0. We'll move on to section 6, information of the board. I will begin by telling you that I have just informing the board that I've communicated with the legal counsel to initiate the superintendent evaluation process. That begins annually. As soon as I receive back some clarification and update from legal counsel, I will communicate that onto the board and initiate the process within the board. And then the other is that we do have only one public records request open at this time that will fall outside of our retainer fee structure, and that is Zachary Bayel, who has made a public records request for all of our public records requests for the past 2022 and 2023, if I'm recalling correctly what that was. I'm sorry, I don't have it fresh in front of me. That is in process. Just as clarification to the board, there are many reasons why someone would file a public records request to the school corporation. Very few of the public records requests filed to the school corporation are fall outside of our retainer fee structure. Those that do are typically related to the business of the board, not the business of the school corporation. So those are the ones that I report to you, or the ones that fall outside of the retainer fee structure. That is all that I have for you. Dr. Reiner, do you want to kick us off with the superintendent report?
I have three things to report out on. I'd like to give a quick update on some related referendum activity with regard to communication. I'd like to speak just briefly about bargaining. We've had our window or our public hearing, so I think mostly that was covered there. And then I'll give a quick update on current enrollment. So with regard to the referendum, we've been working closely with Daylor PR, and we had a meeting today during our cabinet meeting. Mrs. Kronk, Mrs. Roth, and I will start having monthly or weekly meetings on Monday mornings with them. Some things that have developed recently, the logo will be Building on Excellence, and there's a fact sheet that is being developed and is almost finished with key messaging that will go out in a postcard to the public or the community to support what's going to be on the ballot, what it means, and why it matters to the district. There was also a presentation that was created for my office to our office to go out and speak with community groups. We've spoken with two parent council groups. We're going to be speaking to staff, each staff. We're going to be hosting a community forum, and we'll also do that in person as well as online. And then we will also be speaking at Westminster later this month. Daylor PR is focusing on developing a micro website. So that same information will be put on the website. There'll be a video that gives the information that we're giving in the presentations out in the community. And then we will send out similar information through e-newsletter. The Yes Committee is working very closely with Daylor PR at this time, and they've got some things in the works as well. As far as bargaining, the bargaining window opens, as you mentioned, Mrs. Witt, on September 15th, and it closes on November 15th. Now that we've had our required public hearing, we have also scheduled three meetings that we will hold, three official bargaining meetings. Those are scheduled for September 19th. If we need all three, then October 5th and October the 10th. Mr. Wong and Mr. Marley are serving on the board administrative team. Thank you both, Mr. Marley and Mr. Wong. We appreciate it. We've had a pre-bargaining meeting to kind of get up to speed. We've talked with the administrators that will be in on the administrative team as well. And we've actually had a pre-bargaining meeting with the teachers team, and that went well as well. So like the teachers announced, or Mr. Jost announced, we appreciate the collaborative effort that transpires through the bargaining process. Finally, enrollment, average daily membership count is at 2211 today. Those are individuals in this, in our school seats that are in our community. So they're just our average daily count. But we also have transfers, 141 transfer students from TSC. The 2211 is down 43 students from a year ago today, if that holds steady. And we are up several students in our transfer count, which is a good thing for us because it gets us to about 21 students less than last year. We know that this is important to us because today money follows the child. And so we would certainly be down 43 students as opposed to 21 students if we didn't have that transfer to balance it out. Also, we are monitoring elementary class sizes and intermediate class sizes during this time. So when we have our discussion meetings, we're talking about that, and we're watching that daily and throughout the week. And right now, our average class sizes at the elementary school in kindergarten, each class has 20 to 21 students. In first grade, 21 students in each classroom. In second grade, 22 to 23 students in each classroom. And in third grade, 21 to 22 students. At the intermediate school, our current class sizes in fourth grade are 20 to 21 students. In fifth grade, 24 to 25 students. And in sixth grade, in each class, 23 students. And that's my report for this evening.
Mrs. Mumford.
Is there a way to, this was helpful sharing the referendum update. I appreciate you sharing, as I hadn't heard anything previously on where we stood.
Good.
Do you know if they have an updated timeline of what will be happening? Like, I saw that they said the website would be published the end of July. Would be, I mean, there's a lot of details that would be out. And do they have an update of where they now anticipate that we are dealing with the details?
Let me, I know that they're in the works right now of getting things ready and out. So I will ask for a timeline. I will include that in Friday notes next
week. Would be helpful.
Okay.
Just because it feels like we have a lot of things that we haven't done yet.
Yes.
That they had shared they would do by now. So it'd be helpful to hear.
All right. I will, what their plans are. I will ask for that when we have our next meeting.
I believe was what they would normally be doing, but correct, because we started late.
Yes.
Correct.
Everything will be pushed.
Okay, I thought this is the one they gave us with our, it has our correct approval in July 10th, and then how it was, but it may be.
We'll still ask for an updated timeline, and we'll get that out in Friday notes and continue to keep the board abreast of those developments.
Thank you. And
you're
then
welcome.
I have two other questions. My first one is, who serves on the calendar committee, and would you be willing to invite community members to serve on the calendar committee? Dr. Greiner.
So I answered that question in our notes out.
Is that a superintendent committee or a,
that is a superintendent's functional committee. Okay. Yes, but that was answered to you in the notes, and it's somewhat relevant. In the past, we have had a board member participate in that committee, but Dr. Greiner shifted that to be an administrative committee entirely when he came on. So that represents a change from the previous structure.
So we have teachers. We have, to answer your question, where we would typically, Mrs. Mump, we have teachers, and I think we saw, you saw who was on there, administrators, and then Mrs. Roth and I are on there, and Mrs. Julian. And if we were going to make a big change to the calendar, we might then seek input from the public through like a survey. But typically what we're doing right now is keeping it pretty consistent. So right now it'll go to the board for questions and approval. And not necessarily go out for, unless we were going to decide to make a big shift to the calendar. But right now, we've been focusing on just keeping it pretty consistent. So,
now, why did you decide not to have a school board member on it, or even getting community input? Like, there was a pretty big change, if I remember, a year ago, where fall break went from 2 days to 4 days, and other things that have changed without any community input. Why is that? Why aren't we seeking any input at this point?
Well, I'll answer the school board member. role first, it was just determined that we were not necessary. It was redundant because the calendar comes to the school board to discuss it. So the school board members do not have any unique role to play in the development of the school calendar. That really falls under the direction of our educational leader.
We were behind to a year, and so we needed to get moving. And the board, we were having dialogue along the way. And so the committee just met, and knowing that, as Mrs. Wood said, it goes to the board anyway for discussion and approval. So that's why.
No school board member.
Okay. So all instead of one or two.
Dr. Yin? Sorry, Mrs. Mumford wasn't quite done yet. Go ahead, one more.
I apologize, one more question. So the eighth graders do an opt-in to take the PSAT, and I'm curious why that is being done and not an opt-out, as there's a lot of advantages that is seen from students taking the PSAT.
I had you work with, I believe. Do you have any information on that? If not, we've got Mr. Okay, I don't know why it's opt-in versus opt-out. I can research it.
If you can, I mean, it's with all the research that's showing about how beneficial taking these tests are to students, I'm not clear why we're not encouraging all the students to take it, and if they choose not to take it.
Okay,
so I can
work on that and get that information to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Dr. Yin.
Yeah, I agree regarding the PSAT, because I noticed the number is fairly low. There like means 100 students are not even, probably didn't even know that they need to opt in. Another question is about the ADM. I wonder how does the state count the ADM if students, for example, registered in August but later withdraw, or some student come in January, how do they count those students come and go?
So we take, the state takes the count October 2nd, but now they take a second count too, and so the ADM will be adjusted, yes, that's wrong, will be adjusted in February based on whether it's increased or decreased. Typically because of early graduation and things, you'll see it decrease slightly in most districts.
Right, in our district, you know, we have quite a few students, the case of Purdue's faculty, and people take sabbatical leave, you know, they are here for in fall semester, but not in spring. And for those kids who are only here for one semester, will they be counted or?
They're only counted for a half a year. And then if they're here during that second count in February and then leave, then we get the rest of their ADM dollars for the remainder of that year. If they leave before count day, we don't get those dollars for second semester.
Creates a real problem financially if we have a huge shift between semesters on our count days, because obviously we don't employ staff for half a year, we employ them for a whole year. And so if class sizes drop substantially, we receive less funding, we've got to pay the same number of teachers. It's not one of the state's better ideas, but that's my personal opinion.
Okay, that means strategically, if it doesn't matter to the family whether they leave in February or in March, they better leave in March.
We would have
yes. Their money.
That would be ideal.
I
think right. People need to know in this community.
Join us before October 2nd. Stay with us, and yes.
Okay, yep. Definitely. I'll let my friends know if we, because I have a lot of friends who come and go because of those sabbatical leaves.
And there have been cases where students have come to us one day before and left us one day before, and it nothing else counts except those 2 days.
Yeah.
And just to clarify a comment that you made, as I understand it, approximately 66 students did not opt into the PSAT. And they are able to opt in later. That was in the information shared with the board. So if they don't initially opt in, they can opt in at a later date.
But as a eighth grader parent, the email I got saying last week or something was a deadline. So I didn't, I haven't got a second email saying, oh, there's another chance for you to opt in. I did my daughter, but at that time I thought, oh, what if parents missed this email and they will miss the opportunity, because the deadline is pretty short between they receive the email and the deadline.
I know Dr. Greiner will get further information about that.
I think the takeaway here is our enrollment's down, and that's going to affect the amount of income that we get from the state of Indiana. Do you have a round figure in terms of the impact of the decrease?
Bring it up really quick.
If it's 43, I think it's going to be over $250,000. Yeah. If it's 21, it's like 126.
We get about $6,900 per student.
I estimated low.
So that is paid half first semester, half second semester based upon student count. So if we're down 43 students, take 43 students times. Yeah.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions or comments for Dr. Greiner before we move on to committee reports? Yes. Mr. Wong?
Dr. Greiner, thank you for update the class size information. So from what I understand, it seems this year we got a better class size for pretty much across all the grade, huh?
It's about what it typically is, yes.
Yeah, would you mind to share that the class size so I can compare with last year's numbers?
That's in our box files from last month, isn't it?
It's already in there?
Yeah, the class size documents from last year were presented to the board.
Every class, you just read that.
Oh.
You have that information in the document?
The information I just now gave you?
Yeah, you just read in the class size average, the K class
of grade. Years. I thought that 20, was
2021 or something.
You got it.
Are you asking if the information I just now read to you is available?
Yeah, can you share that with us so I can compare with that?
Yes, I will check.
It looks we have a lower number compared with last year, huh?
Okay, I will, if we don't have that already in there, I will add it, and if it's in there, I will tell you.
Okay.
To make sure you have it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Trying not to make this all long-winded and lots of information. Just our savings grace this year is that our funding per student last year was $6,535 per student. This year will be $6,905. So we had a pretty good increase from the state. We are down students though, so we're not going to get as much new money as we could have gotten because the student count has gone down. But they did do a fairly substantial increase. Now the second year, we're only supposed to get about an extra $90 per student. So, you know, if the same thing were to happen next year, might not see an increase like we would this year. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. Can I finish?
Okay. Do you have another question, Mr. Wong?
Yeah, regarding that calendar, when we will be meeting to decide the calendar for 2025?
We're scheduled this month to have a meeting.
Yeah. This month have a meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only things I heard the most. The parents want to our spring fall breaks kind of sync with the Purdue's schedule, but I don't want interim utilization. I'm just share information with you, and when you make decisions, you can think about that. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, we'll move on to committee reports. Let's go with the community report first, please.
Buffer Foundation, Wednesday, August 30th, WLSEF hosted a thank you reception for the Backpack Program volunteers. During the event, the Backpack Program room was named for former volunteer Erwin Kretzmeyer. A plaque for the new Kretzmeyer Closet was unveiled. Foundation is grateful to Shelby Johnson, Kathy Castens, and Amy Masson for coordinating all its volunteers and each person who keeps this important program running smoothly. On Saturday, September 9th, WLSEF hosted two reunion classes, 1963 and 1973. Both classes enjoyed time together and toured the junior-senior high school. Thank you to Ron Schreiner and Lefty Troyer for leading the tours. To mark their 60th year reunion, the class of 1963 has endowed a scholarship to award annually to West Lafayette Senior. Foundation is grateful for this very generous legacy gift. Homecoming is this Friday, September 15th. WLSEF and the West Lafayette Alumni Association are hosting a tailgate prior to the football game. Foundation is also helping to welcome returning former football coaches, players, managers, and cheerleaders as the school celebrates 100 years of football at Westside. Looking forward to a fun celebration. And finally, WLSEF worked with School Corporation and Martha Altshafer to bring landscaping improvements along the West Drive between the Walks Natatorium and Meridian Street. Foundation is grateful to Mrs. Altshafer for her generous gift. And the first meeting of Community Council is October 23rd.
Thank you.
Let's move on to finance external, Mr. Marley.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I missed curriculum. Sorry, there's another C in there.
No update. Can I just report the park then?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, so the wellness center after school program went well and it's full and seems it runs smoothly. And there will be a global feast this Saturday.
Thank you. Did you happen to have any information about the naturalization ceremony in there?
Oh, yes, it will be this Friday.
Friday?
Okay. Yeah, I will attend it.
Wonderful. That's great. It's always a wonderful event to attend. Finance external, Mr. Marley.
Okay, the first thing they did at the Redevelopment Commission in West Lafayette is had me run the meeting because Larry Oates was on a mountain somewhere. So if you want to see me in action, you can look at that on tape. You have to go to sleep or just bored out of your mind. All right, so the thing is they missed. There was a submission for our pre-K study that's being done, and it was received on time, but it wasn't on time for the meeting before last. So Aaron brought it in, and they ratified the approval. There was only one vendor that submitted us a proposal, which is under review, I believe. But that's that's what we got out of, I don't know, they probably sent it a dozen different places. So also, we had some claims that we paid. We paid a $58,000 claim that was ratified to Metronet. We paid another $1.6 million. Most of that was reimbursement to Purdue Research Foundation of $1 million. There was a complete review of the PRF TIF reimbursement. So most of us know what's going on in West Lafayette, but if you look at State Street from 231 clear down to the Wabash River, we had a massive street improvement project. And we're talking about utilities, resurfacing. We're talking about putting utilities in the Research Park, otherwise known as Discovery Park. So if you look on the south side of State Street, and you look at all those new buildings that have gone up from Aspire to Convergence to Continuum, all this construction was made possible from the infrastructure investment that was made. It's a total investment of $123 million. PRF is on the hook for half of it. We're on the hook for half of it. The good news is Purdue Research Foundation has created taxable enterprise in that land. So those businesses that are located in that section are actually paying property taxes that are going back into the 231 TIF district, which is used to service those bonds. So if you want to see a synergistic relationship between Purdue University and the City of West Lafayette, that is a live example of how that can work. And they're not done yet. There's more coming. But there was a complete review at the meeting. It was good to catch up on it. So far, I think we've invested almost $40 million in the project. Following that, they improved body-worn cameras for law enforcement, total of $79,000. Those cameras go on their uniforms, they go in their cars. RDC paid for that. There were a couple of supplemental agreements thrown in that we voted on. We asked for quotes to enclose some of the buildings for the street department. And last but not least, we did a sign change for Parks and Recreation for all of $1,363. So a lot going on at RDC. That's it.
Resource officers? They wouldn't because of privacy, right?
Negative.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They will not wear those. Any update on the Grant Street project?
Oh, well, other than it's not done. I look like a liar or someone that exaggerates, but I thought that was supposed to be done by the time school started. And I'm just giving you the information that they're giving me, and I buy it, except optically, it's not even close to being done. So I don't know what you're hearing, Sean. I've told them to, not told them, but I asked them to meet with you on a regular and ongoing basis so we know when traffic flows are going to resume. Anything?
No, except we were told mid-September, and Mr. Schreiner said all along that it would be well past October, so he's probably going to be the wise man here to be the closest.
Looks like Thanksgiving, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
I would agree with that. All right. Moving on to finance internal, Mr. Wong.
Yeah, I think two things. One is I attend the ISBA seminar about collective bargaining last month, and that is what very good trainings, especially for me as a new board members. So far I count totally altogether about 50 hours trainings, seminars, some online, some on-site from ISBA, and hopefully I can serve our, with those trainings, I can serve our school and the community better. Another thing worth mentioning is our school corporations cover all the cost and the mileage, so I truly appreciate that. And regarding our school's upcoming collective bargaining efforts, I attend the meetings and with our school admin teams, and I believe our school admin team had done their due diligence very well and with good faith. So I would expect a smooth and very productive collective bargaining seasons for this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Internal systems, Mrs. Mumford.
The Public Schools Foundation Cupcake Run is this Sunday. Registration is currently open and they're also looking for volunteers. The fall teacher grant applications are also open and the deadline is September 20th. And then I'm also on the safety committee, which Dr. Yin had reported met last month when I was out of town. But I did wonder if the safety committee had reviewed the safety plan during the meeting and if that plan is shared publicly.
I believe it's posted on the website. We will look and see, and if not, we can say, oh, no, it's not, because it's a, no, I can answer that. We wouldn't post them because they are safety plans, and so you would not post those.
Were they reviewed at the safety meeting? The plan was reviewed?
Mr. Ulrich reported out on anything that we were going to update.
Okay, and then how, is there a way we can, as board members, have access to it?
So I would suppose we could have an executive session and review and talk about those.
Okay. You can't just read it. I didn't know.
It could become a, I think we have to be careful because you want to be careful what you post because it is a school safety.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Plan, so if it goes on Box, board members aren't allowed to see it.
I wouldn't say they're not. Let me talk with our attorney and find out how we could share and have dialogue. How does that?
That would be helpful. It feels like there's legislation that has to be done by January with a lot of it. So I'd love to see a little bit more of what's going on.
Just as backup to that question, we did take all of the pending legislation to our legal counsel and ask them what needed to be handled in a timely manner prior. So we've already gotten that feedback, and we are. Just because of some different things happening in our school corporation through the end of the year, we're only doing what is absolutely necessary to do prior to our December meeting. And so you'll notice that we'll see policy and updates and changes happening in our November and December meetings, potentially only those things that legally are required to be in place in January. We're not doing anything in September and October.
So in November and December, we'll be talking about, like, because I know safety plan is a big one, the library is a big one. So all that's going to be shared with us in November and December.
We are intentionally only doing the necessary policy revisions prior to November, the things we absolutely have got to do prior to November. So all of those are actually complete, and everything that can be done after November meeting will be done after the November meeting or after the first week in November.
Library is one of them that will be sooner.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought we had some deadlines with that.
We are being very cautious about the timing of when all of these conversations happen, and anything that can be delayed is being delayed.
And Mrs. Billingsley is that's yes. The library safety one is one of them, but not library safety. The library policy is one of them that will come, as Mrs. was said earlier.
Correct.
Yeah.
And why are we being cautious with policies?
Because we are taking the advice of our consultant, our PR consultant, and we are doing necessary business prior to November. So if it's not necessary, you're not going to see it on our agenda at their council. And I can tell you, historically speaking, with regards to safety, we have as a board received content about safety mechanisms, things that required purchase. In the past, we have received those, but those are not disclosed publicly in any way. So board members were given information about certain components of the safety system that involved the expenditure of contracts above that limit. So there have been a few purchases over my time on the board, for example, where the board needed to weigh in on that, but those were handled extremely confidentially in the public meeting, but without detail in the public meeting.
So like at the safety committee meeting, they did not hand out the safety plan. They did not review the safety plan. They just said, these are the updates. Is that, am I understanding correctly?
That's correct. But I think that we had an opportunity to look at those hard copies during the meeting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so they were there, and then we just discussed what kind of updates.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, correct. You're welcome.
That's everything for me.
Okay. Legislative and policy, Mrs. Austin.
On August 17th, I virtually attended the Ask ISBA Anything webinar and did not have any questions, but I enjoyed everyone else's. The ISBA Legislative Committee continued to refine the legislative priorities and agenda for 2024. I'll be speaking on behalf of the committee at the state meeting during the conference later this month and attending the VIP reception and dinner the night before as a result of my service on that committee, which is a great networking opportunity that I feel very fortunate to be able to attend. And the next board teacher discussion meeting is next week. The schedule got disrupted due to the beginning of school, so we missed one in between.
Hopped a meeting.
Hopped a meeting, exactly.
All right, we are going to move on with future meetings. We have our work session as noted this evening, Wednesday, September the 20th, 2023. That is at 5:15 here. Again, that is 5:15 an early start time here. We have a work session if needed on Friday, October 6th at 7 a.m. We have a regular board meeting on Monday, October the 9th at 6 p.m. Other upcoming dates of interest, Thursday, October 12th through Tuesday, October 17th is fall break. There will be no school. Wednesday, October 18th is the end of the 9 weeks grading period. There is additional information for the public listed under section 10. And with that, I move on to section 11, and I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Austin, second by Mr. Marley. All those in favor of adjourning our meeting, please indicate with a show of hands. Mrs. Julian, we are adjourned. That motion carries with a vote 7-0. There is paperwork